we go.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Blake Haynes here with the Fat Boys and the Indian. I've got Derek D. Money Emberton on the phone with me. What's going on, Derek?
Oh, not a lot, man. I've been just checking out these preseason football games and been getting really excited because it's about the best time of the year.
Absolutely. And for those of you that have been following the podcast, we took ourselves a little bit of a break. Family happens and life happens, and that's just kind of how it was. Derek, how have you been, first of all?
Pretty good, man. You know me pretty well, but the summertime is usually kind of hard for me because there's not really a whole lot to watch sports-wise besides following baseball. And our cable provider, Dish, just recently quit carrying all the Kansas City Royals games. So trying to watch them, it was great. Try to watch them a couple times a week, but now I can't even watch them. So I'm just sitting over here waiting for football season to get going.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got a lot of that's happening kind of across the country. It looks like I know that Cardinals are having problems with it. It's not only, you know, just Dish and some of the bigger satellite providers, but some of the other I would say subsidiaries such as like Sling and things like that are also cutting ties with those. And hopefully that all gets worked out, because I mean, I would hate for that to play into football season. I don't think it will, just because of the popularity of, you know, the NFL and things like that. But I would hate for you not to get to watch Patrick Mahomes.
That also, but my main concern was, since it was Fox Sports, I was kind of concerned about them not carrying the college football games on Saturdays. Like, a lot of the times, I know if KU doesn't play like a big time opponent in the Big 12, they stream them on the Fox Sports Midwest. So I'm hoping that isn't the case with college football.
Absolutely. So let's hopefully they get that all cleared up. But let's go ahead. You kind of led us and segued us into the preseason football. Derek, I'm going to give you four different quarterbacks. We're going to break down their performances along with not only theirs, but the team just in general. I know a lot of people are like, it's just preseason football. What can you really draw from it? Well, me personally, I think you can really tell a whole lot about your team just because injuries happen every year, and you'll be able to see what's going to segue into that. If one of them, you know, you'll be able to see those backups and see what they can do. Let's go ahead and this is kind of a hot topic. I know a llot of the ESPN analysts are really high on this guy. I've seen some clips that made me kind of question things, but he performed well last night. Let's go ahead and segue this into Daniel Jones with the New York Giants. Give me your take.
Okay, so I was just actually talking to my brother about this last night, and even though it's a very small sample size, there's going to be some controversy in New York, which is always good for that city, but that could be their future quarterback, and I think he could. I mean, time will tell, but from the little sample size we got to watch last night, I was pretty impressed. His touchdown pass he made in the corner of the end zone, watched a couple replays of it, and there was not much of a window for that ball to be fit into, and he somehow got it in there. So, I mean, from one game, I like Daniel Jones a lot right now.
So, agree. I think he was somewhat impressive. However, I listened to Ryan Clark this morning, and I'm a big Ryan Clark fan. I think that his knowledge of the game and his breakdown of, you know, just the scheme overall is really majority of the time precise and right on. That doesn't mean it happens all the time. We're all like that. That think we know anything about the game. That is, obviously he has a little bit more knowledge. But let me give you this, Derek. The New York Giants throwing the football last night were 29 of 37 for 303 touchdowns.
Wow.
With that being said, I don't believe that you can take away and get super excited about a Daniel Jones performance. If you look at some of the passes that he, you know, he threw, honestly, they're scripted. I mean, they're one read passes. There's not a whole lot of, you could really say there's no thought process, right? Like I said, they're one read, they're quick passes, they're get it out of your hand.
You know where you're going before the snap, pretty much.
Pretty much, and if it's not that, then you're looking down to your back. I mean, that's just kind of the way everything was set up for him, which is good. I mean, it's good for him to be quick and to have those kind of reads and the coaching staff. When I say that, the coaching staff really understanding what his skill set is and being able to play upon that. I think that's good. However, you know, Kyle Uletta, I mean, he looked good. He looked good last night. I mean, Taney threw for 190 yards and a touchdown. He was 14 of 19 throwing the football. Now, granted, those are against lesser competition, but they came out and said it. I mean, you heard Ryan Clark this morning. It's not like you were seeing a first team defense when Daniel Jones was out there. That was backup role, you guys getting in there. So I mean, he's throwing against lesser competition with that preset, like I said, with those one look reads and things like that. So I want to see this continue. I think that, you know, like I've said before, I've pick out and say, well, man, they look terrible. Look at these clips. But I mean, some of the stuff I've seen is very, very, I would say alarming, like missing, you know, 5 yard outs, missing running backs. I'm not, and when I say missing, I mean, missing. I mean, they're wide open and you're, you know, feet above their head type of miss. It's not just like, you know, a miss by inch where it's getting batted down or anything like that. I don't know. I think that it just didn't. I wasn't a fan of what I saw last night.
Yeah, it's there's still a lot to be told. But right now, after the first game, I think that was their first preseason game, I'd say Daniel Jones is trending upwards. But obviously, we know that that's going to change over time too.
Yeah, and another point I'll make to this is, you know, you don't have any Saquon Barkley, so I know that may play into this a little bit. But another thing concerning to me is, look at that offensive line. They can't have running game was non-existent last night with their two. You would think they're one and they're number two guy, the number three. You know, Gallman played, Paul Perkins played. Those guys combined for 9 carries and had 22 yards. So I understand it's not Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is a completely different animal, and he's not going to do that. However, I am going to tell you that Daniel Jones, Eli Manning, that system, those two guys are pretty much the same type of quarterback, albeit that Daniel Jones is a little more athletic. The 10 on Daniel Jones and running him out there, you would think it's Eli Manning. That's how their play styles really correlate and what you're seeing out there. So if they don't have Saquon Barkley, who's going to be facing 8 to 9 guys in the box every damn down, it doesn't matter. If he can't get it going, Daniel Jones is going to struggle, especially with all those wide receivers that are hurt.
Yeah, it's gonna be a rough year for the Giants, no doubt.
So, let's go ahead and let's flip the script here. We're going to go to the Arizona game. And honestly, I thought that, I mean, it was kind of bad, I thought, for what I saw with Kyler Murray. What did you think?
Well, I got his stats right here. So, I didn't get to watch this game, but, I mean – 6 of 7, 85% completion, 44 yards. I don't know what to think of Kyler Murray. That team, though, I feel like could be really special just for fantasy purposes, like this season. I just like having Cliff Kingsbury, like, taking that air raid offense from college and trying to just get that into the NFL level with a quarterback like Kyler Murray. I think they could be a fun team to watch, but I wouldn't expect too much out of them as far as wins and losses.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I will say one of his bigger plays, I mean, was a screen pass to David Johnson. It looks like, in my opinion, I think that everybody's blowing up the Kyler Murray with Cliff Kingsbury thing. I think that a guy like David Johnson is going to benefit more from having Cliff there than Kyler. I think that Cliff is going to utilize David Johnson the way he's supposed to be utilized. And I think that he's going to have the bigger year than when you're talking about statistically. I did like would call it the escapability that he showed. I mean, he obviously showed that in, you know, college and things like that, but it's a different animal coming up here to the NFL. I will say, you know, offensive line is obviously looks suspect, which is going to play into some things, but we'll see. I mean, they just signed Michael Crabtree, so that'll help him out a little bit. Having another guy throw the football too. I mean, it's not Larry Fitzgerald there. So
I can't believe that guy's still playing at a high level,
dude. He's there. He's ready to eat. And obviously, another guy that I had high hopes for last year that didn't really blossom and flourish. I think that this year may be a breakout year for him is Ricky Seals-Jones. He's got a lot of athletic ability at the tight end spot. I would really look for him to benefit from Cliff as well. But overall, I think that it was an all right performance. Like I said, you know, another one of those smaller sample sizes. So we'll see how the preseason plays out with Kyler. Next, let's go ahead and let's flip the script to the Washington Redskins, Haskins.
So this is a guy that I was very interested in when the draft came around. I liked his game a lot at Ohio State, what he did. I don't know what the stat is, but he was like one of the highest drafted quarterbacks out of the Big Ten in history, I think. It was something wild like that. But he's got a strong arm. His numbers from the Cleveland game last night, he was 8 of 14, 117 yards and 2 picks. But, I mean, I wouldn't get all up into arms into giving up on this guy or just having no faith, because with his arm talent he's got and that quarterback situation there, I mean, you've got who? Colt McCoy, and is Case Keenum there too?
Yep, Case Keenum played last night.
So, I mean, there's some experience there at that position. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out coming into the first regular season week. If it was me right now, I'd probably roll with Colt McCoy. But I could see Dwayne Haskins taking that backup role.
So as of right now, I've heard reports that Colt McCoy is the starter going into week one if it were to start right now. McCoy did all a little bit of saw Woodrum, who was in there. Woodrum looked just as bad as Dwayne Haskins. My biggest thing is you see the arm talent, you see the mentality. He's a gunslinger. He's going to try to fit it in to some tight spots, and it bit him in the butt last night against a good defense. He also took 2 sacks, which he's got to learn, man. This isn't college. Like, you've got to have that internal clock. Like,
get rid of it. Get out of the pocket and throw it away.
Yeah, exactly. You'll find something. You know, overall, Haskins is going to improve. He's going to get better. But they've got to get him something out there in terms of weapons. I think that he's even got less, in my opinion, than Kyler Murray does. It's crazy.
Who do they got right now? I know Darius Geis is back from that ACL tear, but I'm not exactly sure what their receiving core looks like.
So as of right now, Darius Geis didn't even play last night. That's another thing.
Oh, wow.
So you don't really know what his situation is, in my opinion. I wouldn't be so sold to be like, hey, you know, Geis is going to be there, because you don't know that. As of right now, they've got their three wide receivers that they've got listed. You've got Josh Doxson, who's been a total disappointment since he's came in the league. You've got Cam Sims, then you got Trey Quinn. They brought over like Paul Anderson to exceed and get into that role and be there. But they've got him third at the
exposition
of the depth chart. They also have here's a funny name for you, Brian Quick. You remember him from the Rams?
Oh my God, he's still playing?
Yeah, he's because he's fourth on the depth chart at his position. But
oh my goodness, the only guy I noticed of those names, to be honest, was Paul Richardson and then Brian Quick. The other guys I've honestly never even heard of.
I mean, Doxson's there. He came out of TCU. He was in the 2016 draft. He was their first round pick.
Okay. Still hasn't panned out, apparently. Huh?
No, he hasn't been. Definitely not. I mean, they do have Jordan Reed, the injured Jordan Reed, all the time. They have Vernon Davis, you know. But they don't overall. They don't really have a whole lot. I mean, you will see guys. I mean, Peterson's still there at running back. You'll have Chris Thompson coming back off injury. You've got Darius Geis coming back off, and the disappointment, Samaje Perine. Be interesting to see if I was them. Dwayne Haskins would not set foot on the field this entire season, and he would develop. And you know, maybe this offseason we could make something happen.
You know what? I think Dwayne Haskins is actually in a good situation, and I'm not going to compare him to Mahomes, but I'm going to compare it to the fact like what that year Mahomes had sitting out. Like, if I know Alex Smith isn't going to play this year, but I'm sure Dwayne Haskins should try to spend as much time with Alex Smith and learn from those veterans.
Oh, all three
of them. So yeah, exactly. You know, Keenum, McCoy, and I think if Haskins plays this out right and learns everything from those guys, this is a guy that could be hanging around in the league for a while, honestly.
I will tell you this. I agree with what you're saying. I agree with the mentorship. I do think that those three guys could really break the mold and through his progression. What I will tell you is, though, the situation is not the same. You don't run out there in your first ever start and have guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and, at the time, Kareem Hunt. I mean, you just don't have those guys. And,
yeah,
you know, the next season you walk in, you'd be like, oh, well, hey, we bought this new Ferrari. His name is Sammy Watkins. So, yeah, you don't have that same situation. However, I do agree. I think that overall that's the way you should work. But I would tell you, what I saw last night in this game, if you flip the teams, what do you think? Are the Cleveland Browns real?
So there's been a lot of hype this offseason. Everyone's been talking about them. And, you know, they have the right to be talked about. They went 7-8-1 last year, which I know is not great. But if you look at the previous seasons with the Browns, it's just been a train wreck. Looks like they've got their franchise quarterback. They go and get Jarvis Landry last season, and then they go get his college teammate, OBJ. And it's looking like it's going to be them or the Steelers in that division. But right now, like, I can't quite jump on that bandwagon. I still think this is the Steelers' division to lose. So it'll be interesting to see how this division race plays out.
Yeah, you know, I understand what you're saying. The version of, on paper, the weight room all-stars, it would be their team.
Oh, hands down. On paper, they look amazing.
Bring over Olivier Vernon. I mean, they signed Sheldon Richardson. They dragged.
Miles Garrett off the edge last night was scary.
Yeah.
His jump off the snap, oh my goodness.
Well, and then that's the thing. Like, develop the defense. And drafted and signed and done things. You can't double Miles Garrett anymore. He's going to eat.
No. Yeah. It's going to be a problem.
They get the corner out of LSU. His name slips my mind for some reason. Greedy Williams. That's what it is.
There you go. Yeah.
That was the cat that I thought was going to be the number one corner drafted in the entire draft this year. But, you know, for whatever reason, you know, fell, and great for them. I mean, they've just done a fantastic job overall, in my opinion, getting guys developing. And it's really crazy to me. Another guy that I thought they made a mistake on, I thought last year they should have drafted Bradley Chubb. They draft Denzel Ward. That's a monster.
Yeah, they've hit some draft picks right on the head, man. Getting Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams, you know, building that back into that defense to go along with the pass rush they have right now. I mean, like you were saying, man, if you can't under just winning games on paper, the Browns would probably be one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league.
Here's my sneaky pickup for the year, right? So the only defensive last year that I thought in any sort of fashion, I mean, he only had highlights, don't get me wrong. I think that he needs some development work, but they went out and signed the City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a sneaky pickup that a lot of people aren't talking about. But I think, in my opinion, I think that they will win their division. I can see 12-4 range the record. I do think that it's going to be the Cleveland Browns and the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. That's maybe a bold prediction. First year, and they say, well, you got a mesh and things like this. You know, this isn't basketball.
So you're saying right now that if you are a Cleveland Browns fan, you should be very confident and disappointed if they do not make the playoffs this season.
Absolutely, 100%.
I think that's the general consensus of everyone that I mean, watching a lot of sports talk, you know, getting on Twitter, on all the writers for all the different teams in the NFL, and it seems like that is pretty much the common opinion of everyone. They're saying the Browns are in the playoffs this year.
And that's what I feel, how I feel, but well, I guess we'll see. Here's a guy on their team that I don't think – the first 8 games you're going to see him probably on the field. After Kareem Hunt comes back, you're probably going to see less and less of him. But I really like him, and I've – in some of the stuff from training camp. And he had a pretty good game last night with Jontrell Hillman. He's a running back out of Tulane. He looked really good. He's looked real good all camp. Hashtag Minnesota Vikings, go make a play. So we've talked a little bit about some of the younger guys, some of the younger cats. Give me – I'm not just going to make you pick one, but if you had to pick two guys that are your favorites for the MVP this season, who is it?
Okay, so if I got to pick two guys right now, okay, one of these two guys is going to be a little bit biased just because I am a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and it's already going to be very tough to repeat, but I feel like not saying Mahomes is going to match his numbers from last year, but I feel like even though he does have a great cast of weapons, I think he's one of the most important pieces for any team in the NFL, so I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes. And another guy I'm going to throw out there who had a really great season last year and I feel like could, you know, be in the argument, like he could be in the conversation at the very end of the season. I'll go ahead and say Aaron Rodgers would be my number two.
Okay. Well, let's flip the script on there. Give me a defensive guy you think could maybe, you know, break the mold and do something like that.
Well, there's three guys. We just talked about them. There's three guys that come to my mind. I mean, I'll go number one. I'll say Aaron Donald. That guy is pretty much unstoppable. You can put him anywhere on the defensive line, and he's going to wreck havoc. Another guy I like is Khalil Mack out of Chicago. I mean, you have to know where that guy is at all times, off the edge. And then third, I think Myles Garrett. I mean, especially if the Browns make the playoffs and stuff and make a run, people are going to talk about Baker Mayfield, and rightfully so. He's going to have a great year for them to get to the playoffs, but I feel like Myles Garrett is going to be a guy that's in that conversation too as far as MVP on the defensive side of the ball.
Nice. I like them. Those are three very, very solid picks. You know, I like it. Guys who get after, you know, the passer, I like it. I'm going to go a little different, and I'm going to go with maybe some of my head, maybe some of my heart, what I think, what, you know. My first guy, I'm going to follow suit with you and echo the Patrick Mahomes. I think it'd be crazy not to say that he's in your top two. Dude just threw 50 touchdowns. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, the dude is – he's awesome. I mean, arm talent's there, mobility's there. Plus, I mean, he's got the core around him, I think, to do a repeat. I mean, like we said, Kittle, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce. I mean – Damian Williams, a guy that a lot of people don't talk about, but was just as productive, if not more productive, than Kareem Hunt was in his stead there. And that's probably shocking to some people. But if you don't believe me, go take a look at the stats. It's pretty remarkable what he did with his time there. What I will say is, if you've seen the clip of Thompson trying to pass block, please hope to God that he is never in there to do that, because it is not good.
Yeah, if any of you have Twitter, get on there and just search Darian Lee and was Darwin Thompson.
Yeah.
That was pretty painful. That guy definitely needs to spend some hours in the weight room, put some weight on.
It literally looked like he was a junior high kid trying to do it.
Yeah, it was like a high school senior against a seventh grader. It was rough.
It was pretty phenomenal. My second guy is going to be more with the heart. And when I say heart, a lot of people give me flack for this because I am a humongous Texas Longhorns fan. But for some reason, right now, if I had to pick one guy to be like, well, who's your favorite player in the NFL right now? I would say Mayfield. And that is going to be my number two pick. I think the weapons are there in Njoku, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, OBJ. You got guys like Antonio Callaway, the touchdown pass last night, Jalen Strong. I mean, just guys, there's weapons everywhere. Kareem Hunt will be coming back. I've already talked about the Hilliard kid. He's mobile. He's not worried. He's a gunslinger just like Mahomes is. Plus, if you really look at it, within their division, Cincinnati's going to be terrible. You'll play them twice. Baltimore, in my opinion, a lot of people are still trying to make them like an 8-8 football team when I see them more like a 4.
It pretty much comes down to the Steelers and the Browns, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, and I think that even if you look at the Steelers' defense, where's their weakness? It's in the secondary, so he's going to expose them as well. Now, don't get me wrong. You're going to have some games on the outside, outside your division that may be a little tougher, and he may have to figure some stuff out. But, I mean, really and truthfully, I could see him lighting it up. I mean, I could see him lighting it up against the Jets. I mean, like I just told you, trying to talk up this New York Jets defense, but we just watched, you know, almost 400 yards and 3 touchdowns last night against no-name guys.
The interesting thing, too, that you were talking about being Baker Mayfield being up for the MVP award, just the story behind it pretty much, too. I mean, this is a franchise that hasn't made the playoffs since, I believe, 2001 or 2. They have been the laughingstock of the league for, you know, a decade plus, 2 decades. So, you know, if he gets them to the playoffs, you know, 11-5, 12-4, honestly, it's not crazy to say he should be the front runner for the MVP just because of the organization that they are and how much struggle they've had to go through all these years.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that you're going to see some stuff that they're going to pull out all stops, I think. And I think that he's going to be a guy that you can really see develop and really make an impact. But those are my two offensive guys. Now, in terms of breaking the mold, I had a little bit more difficult time with this than maybe you did. You were able to pull out some names. I don't think Aaron Donald's going to be as dominant this year. I just don't. You're going to see some more double teams this year. There's no Sue in the middle. I think that's going to cause it. I mean, think about that guy. That guy is just a space eater, and I think you're going to see a lot more, I don't want to say a lot more effort to stop him, because it's not like there wasn't that last year, but I just think it's going to be more difficult for him to get maybe some of those one-on-ones. He's not going to get any this year, period. That's just my opinion on it. Guys that I'm looking for on that side of the ball, give me Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa from the San Diego the LA Chargers. He's going to get in the backfield, make some plays. And plus, you guys are going against, I mean, they're going against Joe the Statue Flacco, standing back there for Denver. He may be able to sack him probably 5 or 6 times both times they play.
Yeah, that's a game we need to mark on the calendar as far as a big stat game from Joey Bosa.
Have a big year. That's my opinion on it. Another guy, you know, I just kind of downplayed the Jets defense. I had to pick a guy in the secondary to really make some plays and do some things. Give me Jamal Adams, their strong safety. Guy does a little bit of everything. He's a ball hawk. He can make some plays. I think that he's going to have a good year for the Jets. I mean, not that he didn't last year. I think you're just going to see him continue to rise and really thrive in that system. I just think he's going to have a tremendous, tremendous year just overall. And the last guy, like I said, I always pick a couple with my head, and then a couple where I'm like, man, I really wish this would happen, because this would so much so propel a team that I really want to see. So give me the defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings, Danielle Hunter.
The guy might have the longest arms in the entire football league, dude. Have you seen him just, like, the separation he gets when he's rushing? Like, it's insane.
Well, and you know what the crazy thing is? If this nickname wasn't already given out to a guy I absolutely hate, I would start calling him this. But he legitimately – he's the crack.
It's scary, man.
6'5", 252. And when you think about that, a lot of people are like, well, he's not very big. If you don't think that 6'5", very big, please go Google him.
Yeah. He looks a lot bigger than that, to be honest, though. It's scary. Just because his arms are so long, he looks like he's like 6'8" when he's on the field. It's crazy, man.
It is. And, you know, his production, it's not like he's a production guy that I'm just throwing out. He's quick off the ball. He's got, you know, good side-to-side lateral movement. He can do everything when it comes to pass rushing moves. He's the real deal. He's a person that doesn't get a whole lot of whole lot of flack or talk, you know, nobody really talks about him. But and the dude had 14 and a half sacks last year, 71 tackles, you know, and you know, he didn't have any big, I mean, or you would say like crazy standout plays, like any strip sacks, anything like that. But I mean, he gets the job done, and I really think that he's a guy to watch for on that side of the ball.
There's also one more guy I want to mention, and I don't know why it just popped in my head, but watching the top 100 players countdown they do on NFL Network, he was a rookie last year for the Cowboys. It was that inside linebacker, Leighton Vander Esch.
Yes.
He's a guy to keep an eye on, too. He's flying all over the field. Says here in his stats he had over 140 tackles last year, so that's one of the young and upcoming stars at linebacker in the league I think we need to watch.
Absolutely. They've got two really, really good linebackers. Him and Jalen Smith are both they're both the real deal. They've done very, very well drafting down there. I mean, a guy out of Butler CC plays there, you know, Tank Johnson. So he's pretty good. So you know, let's kind of let's kind of talk about the Last Chance U season this season. What did you think of it?
Wow. Well, Last Chance U, this is pretty much a roller coaster of emotions for me.
Hold on. Let me cut you off. And I said Tank Johnson. I'm sorry. I meant Tank Lawrence. That was stupid. But continue. I'm sorry.
You're good. Okay. So, roller coaster of emotions for Last Chance U. Independence. First off, we went to Highland, so we know what it's like. Small town, even though Independence has a lot more population. So, I kind of feel bad for some of those kids. But I feel like being a junior college head coach would be one of the most stressful jobs. Because, like Jason Brown was saying, they have over, like, 100 kids on the team. And you're pretty much just a babysitter, you know? Like, these kids don't realize, like, this is their chance to, like, get to a bigger school and do well for themselves. And you got these kids smoking weed in the apartments and just not following orders. And I feel like the documentary wants to make Jason Brown to be, like, this bad guy, like, the villain. But, you know, I watched a few interviews with Theo Fawn, who does stand-up. He had him on, and I saw some guys on ESPN interviewing him. I think that guy's a hell of a guy, honestly. I honestly felt kind of bad for him because of the situation he was put in.
I can see your point.
I'm not saying what he did was right.
Yeah, I was going to reemphasize, you know, neither one of us agree with comments that have been made, that he made. You know, there's no place for anything like that, in my opinion, in any realm, whether it's the workforce, whether you're, you know, just face-to-face interaction with any individual, let alone a player that you're coaching. Now, I will say it did, once again, you know, this documentary sheds light on what happens at these programs. And you see kind of what's going on there. And it's all over. I mean, you're going to see some of this stuff in the new one. It's in California. What do you think about that being out in Cali?
It's great. So to start from the first season, we started at East Mississippi and we saw the powerhouse they have built there. And it's kind of that farming kind of small community. And then you go to, you know, Independence, kind of similar, very small rural town. And now I think it's cool you go from that to, like, a big city like Oakland, California, and just a different kind of environment. So it should be interesting to see how that plays out. And also, you might have to double-check me on this, but I was doing some research, and I do not believe California JUCOs actually give out scholarships.
Oh, wow.
Some research on it, but I thought while I was watching the interview with Jason Brown and someone else, and I don't think there's scholarships they give out, so I don't know how that exactly works as far as what they can provide the student athletes.
Now, is that just overall, like they can't provide anything, or
I'm not 100% sure as far as like how would they do like a meal plan or housing or like tuition. Like, I don't know if they give out, like, a little package deal, like maybe housing or something. or I don't know, but it's something different compared to like Kansas JUCO, and I don't know what it is state by state, but from what I was listening to, it didn't sound like they offered scholarships. So maybe our next episode we'll have a little more research done and we can clarify that.
Yeah, I mean that would kind of be alarming to me, not being able to do any of that. Now it is going to be next season is going to be at Laney College. They are the CCCAA national champion, so they had a really good year last year. So obviously this series is going to follow where they think success is going to be had within a program. You know, their really only notable player that came out of this college is CJ Anderson, which I guess if you want to call him notable, I guess you can. But I mean, that's the highest profile player that's came out of this college. Now I'm going to flip it back to this previous season, and kind of give some more opinions on it. I think, in my opinion, I couldn't believe they brought Malik Henry back.
Yeah, I think that was. I mean, there was a lot of things that went wrong, but I feel like one of those receivers, I think it was Marquise King, said if Malik Henry was going to play, that he wasn't going to play or even care about the season. So. Well, yeah, they mentioned a few times. Yeah, he did play. there was a they talk about it in that episode, in all those episodes, man. It was just a bad nucleus of five stars. There's too many prima donna guys that just care about themselves. And I understand at that level, not trying to sound selfish, you need to have some sort of tape or film to have those numbers so colleges are going to look at you and give you an offer potentially.
Well, but here's the thing, and there would be my rebuttal to that, is you're there for a reason. You know, you've either been dismissed from a D1 program, or, you know, maybe you have some academic things and reasons why you're there, or what have you. Maybe you're just trying to make it and you weren't that high of a profile or recruit. But here's the deal. You're there for a reason, right? Yes. So why don't you go out and work towards having success? I mean, because that's what it's all about. That's what any sport is about. So I get they fell on hard times, and then it was you heard the comment, well, I'm just trying to get myself some tape. Well, as a coach, if I would have heard that come out of somebody's mouth, I would have said, okay, well, you can go get tape somewhere else because you're dismissed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one of those jobs that doesn't get a lot of respect. I feel like yeah, on tape, he looks real rough, the head coach, but I feel like, you know, all his players on Twitter back him up and defend him. At the end of the day, you don't always have a coach that cares about your best interest. And he said it himself, too. The thing that gets his rocks off is graduating guys and moving them on to D1 universities.
Yeah.
That's all he cares about.
Yeah, I mean, because he doesn't really, you know, want to be around a bunch of slapdicks, right?
Exactly. Slapdicks. That's a great term.
but overall, I thought it was a pretty good season. Knowing that they were, and that's one thing I'm hoping going into this next season, I'm not going to pay attention to Laney College. I don't want to know. I knew how bad Independence was and how bad it had gotten there before, you know, being from the state of Kansas and following the Jayhawk Conference. So I knew, which I wouldn't have. But I think the thing that makes me the most mad about this season is, yet again, Highland Community College, our first alma mater, is not in the series.
And that's something I always look forward to. I was like, man, maybe get some footage of the Highland game. They've got a new turf field, new scoreboard, video board. I was like, you know, I haven't seen a game there since I graduated, so I was kind of hoping that they would get some highlights of it, and they let us down.
Yep, yet again. But it'll be interesting to see what this new season takes. I know they were a very explosive team there. I'm talking about Laney College, obviously. So we'll see. But, well, guys, that's all we've got for you on this episode. Like I said, we're going to reboot this and kind of get them out as much as we can. And we'll just kind of keep going from here. Derek, you got any final points or anything?
Yeah, man, it's just it's good to get back on the saddle again. I know we haven't put any material out for a while, but life happens sometimes. And I know we've talked about previous months and stuff. We wanted to get this thing going up. So hopefully, like you were saying, man, you guys can expect us to start putting out material on a regular basis, and especially since we're getting into football season, it's going to be easier, I think, for us to brainstorm and get all the material out that we want to. So stay tuned, guys.
Absolutely. And you will see, like as in the past, we will have some guest appearances. And Tanner Crawford is also rebooting this with us. He's driving for Frito, so we'll just see what we can do to get him in here. But you'll see some guests. You'll have, obviously more than likely the Ryan Barker. You'll have the, Ray Munger. Ray is very knowledgeable about, football and schemes and doing things like that. So we always love to have him on as well. So, that's all we've got for this episode, and we'll see you later. Peace.
See you guys.